Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Somehow, God is in me, and there's a sense in which I am like God and man all at once.
Many religions claim that we will all eventually be gods. The Bible says something so much better. It says, no, God will continue to be God. Man will continue to be man, but God will come upon man.
No way!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And away we go!
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio at Minute. You're multitasking electronically. You're listening to this, but you're looking at that. What do you see? If it's wretched, we'd like to see it too. And you can send it to us so we can. idea@wretched.org. If you prefer to express yourself, whether you do it in the voice of Madonna or not, express yourself by calling 877-282-2337.
All right. And this is Derek. Todd, I generally find myself aligned with your thoughts on Christian television and movie productions depicting biblical portrayals such as The Chosen or The House of David.
Great. Thanks. That's a good email. That's really good. Thank you very much for that, Derek. I appreciate your affirmation. Let's go on.
You don't want the however?
Well, we'll see.
However, your recent evaluation of The King of Kings left me wondering, just how dogmatic are you? I use dogmatic in jest, but what exactly is the standard we should look for?
Me! Use my standards. We'll all get along just fine. There have been a plethora of Christian offerings as of late, and these are of the category of Bible stories or Bible recreations. I think it's important to start out with understanding there can be a Christian film. Fireproof comes to mind. All right. That's not putting the words into the mouth of a Bible character, especially the Savior. It's a Christian story. And we would judge that theologically, biblically. You can get into the aesthetics, the production quality, all of that. But I think that's a category that is safe as long as there's nothing innately sinful baked into it. It's the category of Bible recreations that I think are fraught with problems. Now, inside of the category of Bible recreations, you're going to love this if you're a Puritan, there are two subcategories. I think the first subcategory are those that are word for word. They're the ones that, like, I think of the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of John. These came out years ago, probably 20 years ago. It is word for word. And I think that those are different than those that make up words and insert them into the mouth of Jesus Christ or any other Bible character. Why? Because those present themselves as scripture, but they're not. Now, having said that, I do think even the Bible recreation stories that are word for word, I would not disqualify them for your viewing edification, but I think you need to use a level of discernment. Now, I grant you, you might say, I'm about to be inconsistent. I'm not being flip about this. In my mind, I'm not. That's where everything resides in your mind. It resides in my mind. So just saying that doesn't get you off the hook of potentially contradicting myself. But it really does work for me. Here's why I make a distinction. The subcategory of adding words to the mouth of Jesus or anybody else, that to me is just verboten. Why? Because the Bible makes it clear everything we have in Scripture is sufficient and we shouldn't be adding words. Furthermore, it's nothing but mere mortal machinations. It's making up what we think maybe was said for the sake of storytelling. In other words, I think it's adding to Scripture, it causes confusion. Therefore, that level of discernment, I think, is of a higher level than the levels of discernment you need for watching a word-for-word category Bible story. Why do you need to practice any discernment at all with a Bible story? And why am I willing to let those stories off the hook versus putting words into the mouth of the Savior Bible stories? Well, because I think that there are certain elements that do get added even to word-for-word creations. There's tone. There is emphasis in speech. How the sentence is even presented. In other words, there is some interpretation even when the individual is speaking the Bible word for word. Now, why would I say we can work past that? Why would I say that's okay, but putting words in the mouth of Jesus isn't okay? Because of the public reading of Scripture. That's why. Paul commanded Timothy, you need to be reading the Bible publicly. And anytime you read the Bible publicly, you are going to speak it in a way that brings some sort of interpretation to the reading of the word. And if it's okay for that to happen, we need to be discerning about it. Because, for instance, if somebody got up to read John 3:16 and they said, for God so loved the world, gave his only begotten son, you go, whoa, what are you doing? That's probably not the way that it was spoken. Now, was it spoken, for God so loved the world? I hope not. But how was it? But we bring that, and the Bible gives us the permission to allow that. Therefore, when I think a movie makes a word-for-word presentation of, in this instance, Matthew and John, we just need to be mindful of it, but it doesn't disqualify the movie. I think there's just other elements that don't reach that same level of discernment as the category of putting words into the mouth of the Savior movies. Sound effects, music gets put inside of them. All right, let's just do a little test here. I've been multitasking. I actually pulled up the Gospel of Matthew. We've heard this clip before. This is Matthew 23. Now, word for word, question. Is this how Jesus said these words?
Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples,
the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat.
Now, I could say that 70 different ways. The teachers of the law and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. No, that's my interpretation versus this actor's interpretation. Again, we need to be discerning because it does bring a shading to the reading, but we know that is also true when it comes to the public reading of Scripture.
So you must obey them and do everything they tell you.
But do not do
what they do.
That's right. Okay. Okay. So you've got interpretation in that. Here's the Gospel of John. I can't remember this actor's name. I've spoken to him before. We emailed for a bit. He's a professing believer. I can't remember. Could you maybe find it, Jimmy? Veteran British filmmaker. Phillips directs the Gospel of John and with a guy who played Jesus. Okay, so here's a scene. Listen for sound effects, music, and how the words are presented.
Do you believe in the Son of Man?
Tell me who he is, sir, so that I can believe in him.
You have already seen him. And he is the one who is talking with you now.
I believe, Lord.
And he knelt down before Jesus.
Really sweet scene, by the way. Now he's going to turn his attention to the Pharisees. And you're going to hear a lot of interpretation.
I came to this world to judge, so that the blind should see, and those who see should become blind.
Some Pharisees who were there with him heard him say this and asked him,
surely you don't mean that we are blind too?
If you were blind, then you would not be guilty. But since you claim that you can see, this means that you are still guilty.
Is that how he said it?
I'm telling you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who goes in through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep.
By the way, you've got another issue with these films. Is this what Jesus looked like? Do I get that image baked into my brain? Does that confuse me in any way? I think these are levels of discernment that need to be applied to virtually every sort of Christian art, especially of the genre of Bible recreation stories. I have a confession to make. I know that perhaps my levels of discernment on this subject could be tainted because when it comes to the stuff where we put words in the mouth of Jesus, I can't watch it for a second. It's like, no, no, no. Who do we think we are? Speaking for God? But when it comes to these presentations of just speaking it word for word, I do confess, I like this.
The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep hear his voice as he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought them out, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice.
By the way, they're showing sheep being let out of a pen simultaneously with a lot of baaing in the background. Was there a lot of baaing in the background? Okay. Well, I don't know, but that I can screen that out without it compromising what Jesus taught or adding words to what Jesus taught. So, Derek, those would be my rules. Disagree? 877-282-2337. This is Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies. You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's Word now more than ever at fortisinstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Gloss, and real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at fortisinstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better. fortisinstitute.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 70 AD. Titus destroys Jerusalem and the temple. The separation between Christianity and Judaism deepens, and Christians spread throughout the Roman Empire, spreading the gospel as they go. God uses tragedy to forward his great commission. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I knew that. Right after Jimmy told me, this is Wretched Radio. Okay, what's the name of the actor who played Jesus in the Gospel of John?
It's Henry Cusick.
That's it right there.
Yep.
Is he still working, that fellow?
He appears to be, yes.
More importantly, is he still a professing believer? That's the question that I'd like to have answered. He appeared in the Gospel of John in, what year was that thing made?
03.
Get out of town.
2003.
Oh, man. Was it the cinder block bunker in the middle of a field called KKMS in Eagan, Minnesota when this movie came out? And I remember watching it the first time and being aware there are dramatic elements that do get added. But I think that is on a different plane than adding words. This is a word-for-word recreation. And so I think watching something like this you got to use discernment, even as you listen and watch, is different than watching Bible stories where they put words into the mouth of Jesus. And if you're wondering, Todd, are you going to go down that rabbit hole and click the button and listen to more of the Gospel of John? Yeah.
Jesus spoke to the Pharisees again.
I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life and will never walk in darkness.
Now you are testifying on your own behalf. What you say proves nothing.
No. Even though I do testify on my own behalf, what I say is true. Because I know where I came from and where I am going. You do not know where I came from or where I'm going. You make judgments in a purely human way. I pass judgment on no one. But if I were to do so, my judgment would be true. Because I am not alone in this. The Father who sent me is with me. It is written in your law that when two witnesses agree, what they say is true. I testify on my own behalf, and the Father who sent me also testifies on my behalf.
Where is your Father?
That was really snarky. That was kind of what we think a Joseph crack.
No, neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also.
Jesus said all this as he taught in the temple, in the room where the offering boxes were placed. And no one arrested him, because his hour had not come.
Love watching this. And the scene then in the marketplace where the people are questioning him and he lays down the I am statement. If only I could push this button again and we could listen.
I will go away. You will look for me. But you will die in your sins. You cannot go where I am going.
He says that we cannot go
where he is going.
Does this mean that he will kill himself?
You belong to this world here below. But I come from above. You are from this world, but I am not from this world. That is why I told you that you will die in your sins. And you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am who I am.
Jesus never said that he was God. Right. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from anonymous text. Todd, where did the concept of asking for permission from the bride's father come from? Is this derived from scripture or is it just a tradition?
Yeah. I think it's both. I don't know where it started. I don't think that we see an example even in a historical narrative of a young man asking the future father-in-law, may he marry the man's daughter. I don't think we see that in the Bible, but I do think that that tradition, wherever, whenever it started, did emanate from the Bible. And I think I can make the case for it pretty powerfully and offer an encouragement to you, young man. If you are thinking about marrying a young lady, you better be thinking about getting permission from Pop. Here's the word that should motivate you to do so. Covenant. When a baby is born, they are brought into a familial covenant. Mom and dad are the authorities. The children are to honor. The mom and dad are to love and nurture, protect and defend. That is a little covenantal unit. When the daughter goes about the business of getting married, the daughter is leaving that protective covenant. It doesn't mean the relationship disappears. No, you still have a mom and dad and siblings. But when you leave that covenant, the dynamic changes because you're entering into a marriage covenant where it is now husband and wife. You'll start your own little familial covenant about 9 months later. But when you get married, you're entering into a marriage covenant which supersedes the familial covenant. And we understand, therefore, that there's a transfer of the daughter from one covenant into another covenant. And now this is going to make the feminist just bellyache and wail. Why? Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. Number one, that daughter is a man's precious, precious child. He and mom have raised that child, educated that child, discipled that child, protected that child, stayed up with that child. That child is precious. For some guy to just swoop in and take her, bad form. That girl does not belong to you. I'm not talking about in a servitude kind of dynamic. I'm talking about the familial covenant. That child belongs to mom and dad. To not ask for permission to marry and transfer her and move her out of that covenant into yours, I'm sorry. I think it's rude. And so I think the tradition wherever... Jimmy, start AIing this.
Okay.
If you haven't already.
All right.
So that we can find out where maybe this tradition began. I think that they did that out of respect and to say, I am now going to take that mantle of protecting that woman, taking care of her the way the Bible describes. May I have permission to do that? So I think it's a tradition. I don't know where it started, but, and I don't even know if it's uniquely Western, but I do think that the principle and the ideas were motivated by understanding covenants in the Bible. Jimmy, you find anything about it?
Yeah, so not biblical. I mean, it is actually pulled from the Bible, like you said, but there's no explicit verses and there's nothing in tradition that I can see where it began.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I mean, I'm sure it started, everything has a start somewhere.
Okay, but AI doesn't say it was in 1742, tradition began in Scotland or something. No, nothing like that.
Uh-uh, no.
Alrighty. Well, you know what that means, don't you?
What's that?
We should probably listen to more Gospel of John.
They don't understand that Jesus was talking to them about the Father.
When you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am who I am. Then you will know that I do nothing on my own authority. I say only what the Father has instructed me to say. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. Because I always do what pleases him.
Many who heard Jesus say these things believed in him.
Okay, I think this is my favorite part.
If you obey my teaching, you are really my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
We are the descendants of Abraham, and we have never been anybody's slaves. What do you mean, then, by saying you will be free?
I am telling you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave does not belong to a family permanently, but a son belongs there forever. If the son sets you free, then you will be really free. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are trying to kill me because you will not accept my teaching. I talk about what my father has shown me. But you do what your father has told you.
My father is Abraham.
It's Abraham! If you really were Abraham's children, you would do the same things that he did. All I have ever done is to tell you the truth I heard from God, yet you are trying to kill me. Abraham did nothing like this. You were doing what your father did.
God himself is the only father we have, and we are his true children.
If God really were your father, you would love me because I came from God and now I am here. I did not come on my own authority, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to listen to my message. You are the children of your father, the devil! And you want to follow your father's desires! From the very beginning, he was a murderer and has never been on the side of truth.
because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he is only doing what is natural to him, because he is a liar and the father of all lies. But I tell the truth, and that is why you do not believe me.
Wouldn't it be breathtaking to meet him face to face someday? And we can even ask him, how did you talk to them? How did you preach to them? What was your tone? We'll actually be able to go directly to the source. And to those who would say that Jesus never claimed to be God, just go read John 8 over again. No, read the entire gospel. Read the Bible. And it emphatically declares the Messiah is God, and Jesus is that Messiah. This is Wretched Radio.